Session number 10887.
Baron Reel 3. I'd asked you about the degree of fear of the Japanese by the Koreans.
Of course, the Koreans were in fear of the Japanese because they were treated very badly, but that didn't stop them from doing whatever they could for the British forces.
Did you see first-hand evidence of what Japanese did to Koreans?
No, not personally, no.
So you were both recruiting and training them?
Yes, well, when I went down, say, for example, when I went down to my particular area around Chaochi on the plains, I arrived there after walking out of the jungle into the foothills, and then with a guide, Kreni guide, Saw Smile, and we went to a foothill village, and he said, well, we'll get transport now, and so we got a bullock cart, and we went across the plain in the night in this bullock cart, myself and my wireless operator, and we arrived late in the night at this village. If I remember rightly, it was called Yedringong. And we're taken to, we got out of the bullock cart and were guided into one of the big houses in the village. And quite unexpectedly, I was ushered into the dimly lit room, naturally. And there I was met by a room full of Krens, absolutely packed, there to greet me and to question me as to what I was going to do. Quite unexpected. However, we had a general talk, etc., and which I was able to satisfy their inquiries to a certain extent. And then they departed, and the next morning I set up my headquarters in the village and started to saw the headman again and recruited the people with the help of the Saw Smile and the headman. I might say here that although I'd attempted to learn Burmese before coming in and had a smattering of it, most Krens, the majority of them, could speak English or had a smattering of English, so communication generally was quite easy. And you'd see someone you didn't know, like in the hills, and you come upon someone and they were quite ill-dressed, etc., because difficulty getting clothes, and it turned out to be the one-time headmaster of the local school and all that sort of thing, you know. But so it was quite easy, communication was quite easy. And then I arranged an arms drop, and we, which came over, and one of the excellent drops. I always never met the pilot, but he was an excellent drop. He just came straight over, dropped the containers, and went away. Not like some occasions stewed around a bit. He just came, found the DZ, went round, dropped the containers and went away. And that's just what we liked. We didn't want anything else. And the other day we had our bullock carts on the edge of the DZ and the men there. And as soon as the containers were on the ground, the bullock carts came out and they put the containers on and away we went into undercover. And then we had to open up the containers and take the arms and ammunition out. And then we had to dig holes to bury the containers, and took the arms away, and then I distributed the arms amongst the my Karen Nevis, which I'd recruited as a main force, and also eventually distributed some arms amongst the Home Guard villages. Then we also had in the area a company of the Burma Guerrilla Army, which was communist affiliated, and it was run by, well, the army commander was a chap named Bo Thet Tun. Bo Thet Tun. I had a very good liaison with this company, although they were communist orientated. And as they were short of arms, I supplied him with a number of arms on the condition that he should return everyone to me at the end of hostilities. And he kept his promise and returned everyone.
What kind of a chap was this, Bothetton?
Oh, he's a very pleasant chap, although he didn't speak English, and I didn't speak Burmese, but we seemed to have a mutual understanding, and we got on quite well, as it were. There was no sort of feeling of apprehension between us or anything like that. We worked very well, and he sent me a lot of information from time to time about Japanese movements in the area and so on. So it was quite helpful.
To what extent were Burmans in the area helping the Japanese?
Well, some were, of course, but where I was, it was mainly Karen villages on the plains. And it was quite extraordinary, really, because one or two of the villages where I am, particularly the village where I had my headquarters, apparently it was generally known, or it got about, amongst the Japanese. And I was told that they were coming to get me and all this sort of thing through word of mouth. But when the Japanese heard that they were near the village of Yedwingon in small groups, they always avoided it. They never came in. During the rest of the war, I was told that no Japanese went to that village at all. How true that is, I don't know, but that's what I was told. So I moved about the area quite considerably from place to place. And on one occasion during my stay down there, I had to engage some Japanese who were in the area when I got wounded in the leg, the opposite leg, and on the face with Japanese grenades, which didn't restrict me to start with, but eventually it got quite bad, and I didn't have any doctor down there, and in the end I couldn't walk around, so I had to evacuate myself to a British unit who were on the main road down to Rangoon at that time. And they evacuated me and eventually operated on this leg, and I went out from the field for a little while and then came back again. I was wounded about the end of April and went out about May, beginning of May, or towards the end of May. Around about that time, anyway. Can't remember exact dates. and then I went back into the field again in July until the end of hostilities, rejoining the Karen Levis.
So you were there for the Japanese surrender?
Yes. Mm.
What did you see of that?
Well, nothing major, because when the surrender came on, a lot of the Japanese around the hills of Burma and etc. were out of contact with their units and had no means of contact with Rangoon. So they sent up the Japanese officers and non-commissioned officers to us so that we could use them to liaise with the odd Japanese pockets, if necessary. To go and tell them that the war was over and they should surrender. We had an officer and one up with us. But we didn't have much difficulty from that point of view on the plains.
What impression did this Japanese officer make on you?
Oh, he was quite correct and all that sort of thing. And and when he went, he thanked me for the hospitality, etc. I didn't fraternise with him. I made him eat by himself somewhere else. You know. And I thought at the time, you know, well, he got much better treated than he would have treated us, probably. You know. But you couldn't do much else. And then, of course, we had to collect all the arms from the areas which had dropped, you know, during the hostilities. And so we were just collecting in all these arms and sending them down to Rangoon and so on and so forth. And making various arrangements as the headman tried to change over from a war atmosphere to a peace atmosphere, but it was going to be difficult.
Did the Karen say to you, did they speak to you about the intentions of the British as far as the British presence in Burma was concerned?
Well, I think it was thought that the British were going to give considerable help to the Koreans after the support they gave to the British, and that the British wouldn't abandon them once peace had come, because what the Koreans wanted was a state of their own in Burma. And as you know now, the Koreans are still in opposition to the Burmese government and have been for a number of years. And there's really no stability in the country, as you will gather from various press reports today.